We have been through a comprehensive eye exam over the last few weeks. The phoropter has come out, the eye exam machine. And for us, it's the Bible. And in this eye exam, we have our vision chart that's in place, and we desire to focus in on that vision. And for us, it's more and better disciples. More and better disciples. As a church, we desire to see more people become followers of Jesus Christ. And for existing disciples to be progressing as better disciples. In this series called Focus, we've asked you to examine where you are in the process of bringing this vision into focus. We have identified some biblical lenses that we think are required or necessary to really bring this vision into focus. And we've looked at the prescription that is a part of each one of these lenses. And I want to remind you that the lenses are for all of you. But the way your prescription needs to be tweaked is unique to you. And hopefully you're allowing God to kind of tweak that prescription as it relates to each lens that we have looked at when it comes to becoming a better disciple. So in our eye exam, we've looked at a number of different lenses. A better disciple, lens number one, will pursue spiritual maturity. Lens number one, a better disciple will pursue spiritual maturity. A better disciple will look to grow your own faith. A better disciple will pursue consistent Sunday worship. This is the prescription. Consistent Sunday worship, a self-feeder on God's word. A person who is a better disciple will pursue contentment and generosity. Will have the right attitude in trials, will be changeable, teachable, correctable, and accountable. And if necessary, listen to me, folks, if necessary, a better disciple will pursue spiritual maturity by getting baptized or joining the church. That was lens number one, grow your faith. Lens number two, to become a better disciple, you will connect with other believers. You will support your faith. Connect with other believers, support your faith. It's just the wind. Competing with the wind today. Just consider like background, you know, what do they call that, white noise? So a better disciple will connect with other believers, will support your faith. We think it's important for us to understand that in order to be a better disciple, you and I need to live in community and connection with other Christians. For us around here, it's best served in community groups. And Pastor Rex has been busy with conversations. And if you haven't had a conversation yet with him about community groups, go ahead and do that. He wants to have more. And if you need to start with a conversation with God because you're really pushing against that, go ahead and start that too. He tends to win every time. Lens number three, a better disciple will also serve others unselfishly. Exercise your faith. It's not just about growing it and supporting it. It's about exercising or using your faith. A better disciple will serve. A better disciple will serve in a church. As a matter of fact, a better disciple will serve in our church, this church, Bible Baptist Church of Sodus. Why? Why are you making this one of the lenses to serve? Why? Because serving honors God's design for ministry. Look it up. Serving honors God's design for ministry. Remember, part of my job description is equip you to serve. I'm not supposed to do it all. I'm not doing my job unless I encourage people and equip people to serve. It honors God's design. It also makes an eternal difference when you serve. And it's a lifelong practice. No such thing as Christian retirement. No such thing. That's why we serve. How do we serve? The method is do the best you can. Show up on time. Show up at all. and just be engaged fully in serving. That's the method, the motive for God's glory. For God's glory. Where do you serve? You serve consistently, deeply, and strategically. And the question we all need to ask ourselves is, do I serve? Do I serve? And if not, I need to have a conversation. The final lens to help us bring into focus more and better disciples is this: a better disciple will advance God's kingdom. Share your faith. A better disciple will advance God's kingdom by sharing your faith. A better disciple will look for ways to advance God's kingdom through outreach, through witnessing, through sharing with others about their faith in Christ. Why is this important? Because two things happen. When you and I share our faith, we are becoming a better disciple. And when we share our faith and people actually come to faith in Christ, the other part of the vision happens: more disciples. You see how that works? So when we share, we're becoming a better disciple. And when we share and people accept Christ, now we have more disciples. Look how that works. We actually thought that out. More and better disciples will come to place. Now, before we dive into this idea of advancing God's kingdom, I want to share some preliminary comments for you just to listen to, not to write down, but just to think about, because I have found that when you start talking about things like advancing and focusing and sharing and witnessing, that people get a little nervous. You don't need to do that, but here's some preliminary comments. Number one, in our church, there is a corporate aspect to this. There is a corporate aspect to that, to the idea of advancing. We provide opportunities for you to advance in a corporate setting by inviting people to or participating in things like Easter, Christmas, the cookie drop, different activities that we have, soccer camp. So we provide opportunities corporately for you to do that. We also try to provide the gospel in church services and through life events like funerals. We do that. So that's the corporate aspect. However, even though the corporate aspect is important, I have found, research has shown this, listen to me, it's been demonstrated that the most effective way to advance God's kingdom is for individual believers to share their faith with people in their sphere of influence. That's the most effective way. Is it the most traumatic? Yes. Most effective? Absolutely. Because you have a relationship with these people. And since it's an individual responsibility, I want to say something else related to this. The Bible never teaches that individual advancing is only for certain people with certain gifts or for the professionals. Oh, Pastor Jay, I've got somebody you just need to witness to. Who is it? My neighbor, you got to get him. Why do I have to get him? You got to get him. You got to get my coworker. You got to get my cousin. No, you get your neighbor, you get your coworker, you get your cousin. Because it's not about just the professionals. Like we're professional at it. Or, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism. That's okay. Some people have that gift, but everybody has the responsibility to do that. Third observation about advancing. Advancing by sharing your faith can be this. It can be planting the seed. It can be watering the seed. It can be harvesting the decision. All those things are important. So if you find yourself with somebody and only part of the process, don't be discouraged. You're still advancing God's kingdom. If you plant the seed, or if you water the seed, or if you have the opportunity to harvest. Fourthly, the Bible makes it clear that advancing his kingdom through somebody coming to faith through Christ, in Christ, is through the Holy Spirit and God drawing them. It's a God thing. But don't let that be an excuse for you to say, well, since it's a God thing, I'm not going to do anything. That's not biblical. And then one final observation. This was really put in for me, but I want to share it with you as a church. Someone does not become a more disciple until they actually make that decision for Christ. So as much as we and I want to see more disciples, it's not really happening until people come to faith in Christ. That's the reality of it. as much as I want it, as much as we put it on our vision statement, as much as it's on our chart. We shouldn't be lulled into complacency by thinking all we have to do is want it, and then that's good enough. No, because people do not become more disciples until they make that decision. So I don't want to be settled with that, and neither should you. So advancing God's kingdom, where do we begin? This is not just about one way to share your faith. I don't think there's just one way to share your faith. And I will acknowledge, some people are more natural at it than others. Some of you don't like those people. They can turn any conversation into sharing Christ. But some people are more natural about that. And we have resources here at church that we'd like to make available to you. But I want you to go with me from this angle about advancing. It's not about knowing the right words all the time or knowing all the answers to all the questions. It's not about that. I really don't believe it's that. I believe that people advance kingdoms when they believe in what the kingdom stands for. That's not just spiritually, but even military context and other kinds. People advance kingdoms when they believe in what the kingdom stands for. They're motivated because they're like, yes, the kingdom. See the flag? They got the flag going, yes, we're going to go up that hill. Why? Because they believe in the kingdom. So advancing God's kingdom is about being motivated about what we're advancing. People who advance a kingdom understand what is at stake, and then they buy into it with passion and purpose. This happens even in the world of sports. They have the Bills kingdom or whatever team you're rooting for, or Syracuse or whatever. And that's their kind of their little kingdom. And they want to advance the kingdom. They wear the colors. They shout. They paint their chest. They do all sorts of strange things with passion and purpose. They have bought into the kingdom, folks. But I have found when it comes to sharing our faith, there's a little less of the buy-in. We're not quite as excited about the kingdom as we should be. So today we want to talk about how do you and I, not just me, but how do you and I get excited and motivated about advancing the kingdom? How do we get that buy-in that seems to be prevalent in so many other areas of our lives? So here's the prescription for the lens we're going to look at. We're going to look at four ways to get motivated about advancing God's kingdom. Four ways to get motivated about advancing God's kingdom. Through God's word and through the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to apologize for this. I want to motivate you this morning. I want to inspire you. I want you to get a little giddy up in your step when it comes to advancing God's kingdom. I'm not going to apologize for that. I'm not a motivational speaker just on the periphery. I'm doing this from God's word and the truth of God's word and the call on God on each one of our lives. I want you to leave this morning going, man, we have an awesome kingdom. Other people should know about it. Way number one to be motivated about advancing God's kingdom is acknowledge the kingdom situation. Acknowledge the kingdom situation. This is a sobering way to be motivated, but motivating nonetheless. What is at stake when it comes to our kingdom? Why should I be motivated? Why should you be motivated? Because there's something at stake when it comes to advancing. I want you to take your Bibles with me. Turn to John chapter 3. Turn there with me. You're going to know these verses, or at least one in particular, but I want you to see them in your Bible. And again, you might even want to write down in your Bible, if you take notes in there, you might want to write down next to one or both of these verses, kingdom situation. Kingdom situation. Because this should motivate us. John chapter 3. The Pew Bible number is in your insert. It's in there for all of them if you want to turn there in your Pew Bible. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I know you know this verse, but you probably haven't looked at it this way in a while. These are the words of Jesus Christ. And he says, God loved the world, He gave his son, and whoever believes him will not perish but have eternal life. Notice, there are two options here. If you believe, you live. If you don't believe, you perish. That's the kingdom situation from the words of Jesus. This is what motivated Jesus to come and die on the cross. This is what should motivate you and I, the kingdom situation. Then look at verse 36. Additional words from Jesus. He says in John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. People, Jesus says, people who don't believe in him face separation from God. I know this is not politically correct, but folks, let's face it. Why would we be advancing a kingdom if it didn't matter? Doesn't it matter? That's the kingdom situation. Everybody's going to stand before God, and they either are going to know Jesus or not know Jesus. That's the kingdom situation. That's what should motivate us. We need to acknowledge this kingdom situation. Simply put, lost people are really lost. I want you to think about some word phrases with me that appear in the Bible. Maybe you want to write them down. They're not going to be on the screen. But think about these phrases. I would encourage you to write them down. Here's how the Bible describes people before and after Christ. Blind, see. Is there a difference between those two words? If you were blind and then you could see, would it make any sense to you if somebody said, oh, there's really no difference, right? You were blind, now you see, it's really not a big deal to you. Is there a difference? Blind and see as it relates to the kingdom. Lost, found. Lost, found. Which category? The Bible says this. Dead, alive. There's a huge difference. Without Christ, we are dead in our sins. In Christ, we're alive in him. See the difference? Hopeless, rescued. Hopeless, rescued. A slave to sin, redeemed. Slave, redeemed. Redemption means to be bought back. Here's another picture in the Bible. Condemned, forgiven. Condemned, forgiven. And then one final word picture example is guilty, justified. Guilty, that word justification means to declare righteous, not guilty. And if we really believe that people are in one of two of those, or one of those categories or the other, that changes our kingdom perspective, does it not? Should we not be motivated? The Bible is clear that the kingdom has entry requirements. It does. Our church does not believe in universalism. It never will as long as I'm on this stage. Universalism is the doctrine that everybody will eventually be saved. It is a false doctrine couched in good intentions. But the Bible doesn't teach it. Because with all the kind of stress that comes sometimes with advancing and sharing your faith, if I really thought that everybody's getting there, I'm going to focus on other things. We could have some more church dinners, maybe throw in some bingo or have some more extra worship. Why am I going to stress out about talking to somebody about my faith if everybody gets there? And why would I spend so much time celebrating the cross? I wouldn't need to. What's the cross for? If everybody eventually gets saved, that's not the reality of the Bible. Because of the kingdom situation, we should be motivated to advance it. long time ago, I think in the 80s, and maybe that doesn't seem like a long time to some of you, but there are people in the room going, 80s? What's the 80s? What are the 80s? Christian artist Steve Green wrote a song that simply was entitled, People Need the Lord. Every day they pass you by. People need the Lord. That should motivate us. It should motivate us. Here's the second way to get motivated about advancing God's kingdom. First, we need to acknowledge the kingdom. Secondly, we need to accept the kingdom challenge. Accept the kingdom challenge. And before I have you turn to the verse, okay, I just want you to know, I'm all up for this kind of stuff. And this is where I want to motivate you. When I acknowledge the situation and realize that we need to be advancing the kingdom, God lays out a challenge for us. And I'm all up for challenges. Come on. Some of you, I know who you are, and you like challenges. I want you to be motivated because God says, here's the challenge. You're like, I'll take that challenge. Accept the kingdom challenge. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Again, if you want to write in your Bibles, you write next to this verse, kingdom challenge. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Here's what Paul says. Here's the kingdom challenge. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. God puts out the challenge for advancing right in front of us. Take the challenge. What does it look like? Here's what it looks like. First of all, you and I need to be prepared. Be prepared. If you're thinking about climbing that mountain, if you're thinking about taking that mountain, you're going to think about what you're going to take with you up the mountain? I hope so. I mean, you're excited because you're like, here's the situation. We got to take that mountain. Awesome. Okay, let's go. Well, you're forgetting something. You don't have any shoes on. Oh yeah, okay, I'll get my shoes on. Okay, you got to get your gear on. Oh, yeah, I forgot about my gear. So be prepared and ready to go. How do you get prepared? Well, like I said before, we have resources. We have resources to help you. But let me just start with some basics. I believe this, as gently as I can say it, that everybody in this room who is a follower of Christ should know the basic entry requirements for the kingdom. Just the basics. You don't have to know about the hypostatic union of Christ as found in Philippians 2. Or the implication of Trinitarianism on our future kingdom place. I'm just making it up. But you should know how to tell somebody how to get into the kingdom. Bottom line, be prepared. Whoa, what if they ask me about all the people suffering in the world? Google it. There's some really good articles out there, seriously. But that's the bottom line. Listen, the greatest need that a person has is not to be satisfied with the answer about the people that are suffering. Their greatest need is to come to faith in Jesus Christ. So just go to the basics. Go to the basics. Know the basic requirements. And if you believe in what the kingdom stands for, you'll get prepared. You'll get prepared. We not only should be prepared, but this verse also tells us that we should be patient. We should be patient. Accept the challenge. I know some of you, when you take a challenge, you're like, get out of my way. Get out of my way. I'm going to do it. But if we're going to advance God's kingdom as better disciples, we need not only be prepared, but be patient. It says to do this with gentleness and respect. What does that mean? Gentleness and respect means this. Advancing will take time. It's not necessarily the first time you share your faith with somebody that they're going to just like fall down on their hands and knees before God. It may take time. Sometimes it's a process. Be patient with them. It also means to accept them where they are in their faith journey. Too many times, Christians try to clean up the fish before they catch them. You know what I'm saying? You know, if you want to come to Jesus, you need to get some of these things right in your life. That's not in the Bible. You made that up. You come to them right where they are. So be gentle. Show respect. Respect means you're not abrasive just for the sake of being abrasive. Judgmental, fake, unethical, immoral. All those things are not going to help us to be patient and to be gentle and show respect for people. So be prepared, be patient, but also be proactive. Accepting the challenge. Don't wait. You know, hey, when I see you about up the mountain, I'll go. When you're about halfway up, you call down and I'll come up. No, you be proactive. Let me read a verse for you. You don't need to turn there. It's a couple verses. You can bring them on the screen, Carolyn. Thank you. Luke chapter 5. I love these verses. It says, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi, Matthew, sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Matthew got up, left everything, and followed him. Notice what happens next. Matthew becomes a follower of Christ. Then Levi or Matthew had a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. The very first thing that Matthew did after becoming a follower of Christ was invite all his unsaved friends to dinner with Jesus. He didn't invite all the Christians that he knew. He didn't know any. So be proactive. Look for people who need Jesus in your life. If you have been a follower of Christ for a long time, I'm just here to tell you, you have to become disciplined to include people who need Jesus in your life. Otherwise, you're just going to hang around with all these people all the time. I meant that nicely. God convicted me of this a couple years ago because I work in a church. I work with church people. I don't have unsaved people in my office. And so on purpose, I made some choices, some changes in my life to try to put myself in situations where I'd be around people that need Jesus. You need to be proactive with that. Be motivated. Don't become totally Christianized in your relationships. I don't know that it's a badge of honor to say, hey, on my speed dial, I have a Christian plumber, a Christian doctor, a Christian lawyer, a Christian real estate agent. I mean, I get it, but I mean, really? Okay, so everything on your speed dial is Christian? So when someone comes and talks to you, what are you going to talk to them about besides your plumbing? Maybe have a plumber over. Sorry, Dave's not in here. Maybe have a plumber over who doesn't know Jesus. They bump their head on the pipe and some things come out. And you're like, okay, let's talk. You want to get motivated? Acknowledge the situation. Accept the challenge. Be proactive. Third way to get motivated about advancing God's kingdom is access kingdom power. I love this. I love the fact that God says, here's the situation, folks. People need Jesus. Here's the situation, folks. Accept the challenge. But I love this part of it where God says, as you do this, I want to motivate you because I'm going to give you some power. As you go up that mountain, you got some stuff with you to work with. You have some resources at your disposal. Is kingdom advancing hard? Yes. Is there any help available? Absolutely. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. You're doing so well this morning. I hope you get motivated. We're going to go out there, advance the kingdom. Colossians chapter 4, not 2. Colossians chapter 4, page 823. Let's look at some kingdom power. This is the Apostle Paul talking to believers in the church at Colossae. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, be watchful and thankful, and pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Here's the first kingdom power you and I can access, prayer. I love that Paul, the ultimate New Testament evangelist, he actually asked people to pray for him. Because he thought prayer was powerful when it came to evangelism. Prayer is kingdom power. Here's what we should be praying for. I put this in your notes here. We should be praying for opportunities. Opportunities. Spiritually speaking, I dare you to pray for opportunities. Because you know what is going to happen? God will give them to you. You're like, that's it, I'm out. Even this past week, God allowed me the opportunity to go to the nursing home that Joan was staying at and be a part of a little service that took place right in just in her section, her suite of the nursing home after she passed away. And I was able to share the gospel just briefly. And the reason why I relished and was encouraged by that is because there's a chaplain there who is a follower of Christ. But afterwards, he said to me, thank you for doing that because I'm not allowed to make it as personal as you did. And I said to him kind of tongue-in-cheek, you know what are they going to do, kick me out? He's like, but thank you for sharing about a personal relationship with Jesus. I didn't know that opportunity was going to be on the radar, but I've been praying for opportunities. You pray they'll come. Isn't that what Paul says? That God may open a door for our message, access the power of prayer. He'll also pray for specific people. Pray for specific people. I believe Paul prayed for specific people. And then access kingdom power, be motivated by praying for effectiveness. This is what I like as well. You can say, you know, I feel kind of weak. I feel kind of anxious about advancing God's kingdom. You know what the power of prayer does for you? It reminds you that your effectiveness is tied into God's power. You can be praying, God, as I share, please just guide my words. Give me your help. Will he do that? Absolutely. That should motivate you. I don't want to go up the mount with no power. But there's another way we can access power, and that's through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. When it comes to advancing. Let me read this verse for you. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you, to his disciples and to us, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And what will the Holy Spirit allow you to do? You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So the Holy Spirit provides you advancing power, that resource. How does he do it? Here's a couple ways that I've found that he leads and helps. The Holy Spirit gives me power because I ask him to help me to have awareness when it comes to advancing. What I mean by awareness is just be aware of the people that he has placed in my life, and their need for Christ. I think the Holy Spirit gives us awareness. Pray for that. That's powerful. Because if you're aware, you're motivated. When you're oblivious, you're not. I think the Holy Spirit also will give us boldness. Notice the word is boldness, not brassness. Brashness. Being abrasive. I think I said it up. You know what I mean? There's a difference. I'm not asking the Holy Spirit for me to really offend people all the time and just be mean and nasty. Too many Baptists are known for that. I want boldness because I believe in the kingdom. The Holy Spirit will do that. And then I love the fact that you can ask the Holy Spirit for this kind of power. Receptiveness on the part of the listener. You know you're going to talk to somebody about faith in Christ. Maybe you have it set up or you know the conversation is going to happen. You need to say, Holy Spirit, could you prepare their heart to receive this? Does he do that? Yes. And you may, well, they didn't accept Christ that day. Yeah, but he may be still working. And that's the power you can access. So you're not doing this on your own. Are you more excited now? We're not talking about just going door to door and you don't even know people like, hi, I'm from the church. Don't shut the door. Some of you, if you do that, it's very traumatizing. I did that when I first got saved. They made us go out when I was like 15 years. It was hard. And now almost everybody has no solicitation on their on their door. So you're like, whoa, okay, they must know Jesus. You're thinking, they must know Jesus. And they have a vacuum cleaner. Okay, great. So you're like, you don't even go. No. Motivated. Acknowledge the situation. Accept the challenge. Access the power. And then a fourth way to get motivated is when we announce kingdom victories. That should fire you up. Again, I don't need you to turn there, but Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells three parables about reaching people far from God. Lost sheep, lost coin, lost sons. But I want you to see these verses that come at the end of each parable. Verse 7 says, I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. That's what happens when someone joins the kingdom. Verse number 10, in the same way I tell you there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And then at the end of the parable of the lost sons, verse 32, when the older son's having a problem, the father says, we had to celebrate and be glad. Why? Because this brother of yours was dead and he's alive again. He is lost. He was lost and he is now found. What motivates us is announcing kingdom victories. On March 24th, we're going to have a baptism. You know what a baptism is? It's a kingdom victory announcement. whether that person joined the kingdom 5 years ago or 2 months ago. Baptism's like, oh, baptism, why do you want a baptism? Because you're rejoicing and you're going to be encouraged by a kingdom announcement. The people getting baptized said, listen, on this day, at this time, I joined the kingdom. And you're like, yes. We rejoice in kingdom victories. In December, a guy named Art, who was dying, was led to Christ by Alan and Angela Bartlow just days, maybe in weeks before he passed away into eternity, and he came to faith in Christ. King, that's an amen. That's a kingdom victory. Wow. And I knew Art a little bit. He was a tough cookie. He was a tough cookie. In December of 2018, Pat Quintero's daughter, Shauna, gave her life to Christ. That's an amen too. Amen. February 6th, Bert gave his life to Christ. Kingdom victory. And then on February 15th, Sophie led her friend to Christ. So I texted Sophie, tell me about this. Here's her text back to me. First she asked to play a rap song, then mommy said no. So I put a Christian song on, and she said her parents weren't Christian and she wished she was, so I took her to a private area and asked her if she asked Jesus into her heart. She said no, so I helped her to do that and taught her some things about Christ and gave her a prayer journal she was going to use and for her questions and prayers to get closer to God. That's about it. So I texted her back. How old are you, Sophie? 10, almost 11. Kingdom victory. Victories motivate advancing. You can do it. I can do it. There's no age limit. And there's nobody that's beyond the reach of the gospel. Advance God's kingdom. What should motivate you? The kingdom situation should motivate you. The challenge should motivate you. The power should motivate you, and then the kingdom victories should motivate you. I'm going to need my helpers here. Go ahead and get in place. Go ahead and do that quickly. You're going to be receiving, starting in the front row and then in the middle rows, you're going to be receiving a cup that has something in it. You're going to take out one thing from each, or one thing from the cup and just pass it down. When it gets to the end of the row, just pass it behind you, and I will explain that to you in just a moment. So go ahead, guys, let's do this. One on each end of the front row and one in the middle rows. Two of you start there, right there in the middle, one front there. Go ahead, Vince, one of the, just pass it and take one, pass it down, and you guys are good. No, wait. Oh, you're taking care of her, good. So where's, that needs to go down there. Isn't there another place for one? There, wait, hold up. Is there another one on the back? On that side, we need one in the, down there in the middle. There we go. All right, take one, hold it in your hand, pass it back. All right, so as you're doing that, roll that around a little bit there. So you're just going to need to work with me for just a moment. I want you to take this. Don't leave it in the pew. Take it with you, okay? All right, does everybody have one? Okay. So just be flexible a little bit here. Here's the object lesson for you. There are a lot of reasons why people don't share their faith, a lot of reasons why Christians don't advance God's kingdom. The number one reason is probably fear or apprehension. I get it. But often you will hear that people don't advance God's kingdom because they don't feel led. Okay. Put it someplace. Every day in your pocket, in your purse. So every day you feel led. No more excuses. Pastor Jay, I wanted to advance God's kingdom, but I didn't feel led. Well, forget it now. You're feeling led. Not going to throw this. Why don't you stand? Seriously, take it with you. Going to feel led. Let's pray together. God, thank you for the message of the gospel. It's the greatest message in the world. And it should motivate us to advance your kingdom. I pray that you would break down any obstacles that we have. Bring to mind those people that need Jesus. And help us to be faithful and consistent with this lens of sharing our faith. Help us to do it in your power and your strength and your wisdom for your glory. In Christ's name, amen. You are dismissed. Oh, you still had that with you? Oh, no.